Okay, we made it. If it's Thursday afternoon, then it must be Tuesdays with Dave. So I want to welcome you to, this is actually a live stream today, and I want to welcome everybody to the live stream. We are still shoveling out of our third nor'easter in a row. For those of you that were going to come to business building the last 2 days, we had to cancel that because nobody could get into the airport. But we do have the private money event that's happening, which a lot of people are going to as well. Got their flight changed. A lot of people have been coming in and out of the office today as well in preparation for that event. So welcome everybody to the call. This is a live Q&A. You can ask me anything that you want. Anything about life, anything about real estate. I have a lot of life experience. I have a lot of real estate experience. The way you get on the queue is to press star zero. The operator will get you on the line. Take your name, put you in the queue, and then you can fire away. Got some questions already sent over by some mentoring students. So first of all, I want to welcome the new mentoring students from the last event that we had last weekend. And I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but we had a great Skype call into that event. It was on the West Coast. I forget. San Francisco. Welcome to San Francisco, new mentoring students. Welcome aboard. So I also have some reminder of some upcoming events. We have the private money event that's happening tomorrow right here in Rockland, Massachusetts, and that is all about how to raise private money. We have the Fort Lauderdale Immersion event that's happening March 23rd and 24th. And if you're from New England, you might want to fly down there and get some warm weather. If you're from any cold weather state, you might want to fly down there and get immersed in the Florida sunshine. The San Francisco Immersion is going to be April 6th through the 8th. The Jacksonville, Florida Immersion is going to be April 13th to the 15th. And then the Seattle Immersion is going to be April 13th to the 15th. So we got a high five going to mentorship students Tommy and Chris Martin from Tampa, Florida. They did 61 units. The purchase price was $2.84 million. The asking price was $3.2 million. Previous owner upgraded the property. They found the property through a broker relationship at Marcus & Millichap. The property is currently 100% occupied. We know what that means. That means it's time to raise rents. Anytime you're 95% or above occupancy, time to raise those rents. The value plays were rents were below market. That makes sense. The average rent for the property is $519, but when they did their analysis, they can get $625. So that's a wow, that's a pop of $106. That's a pretty good pop for 61 units. Multiply 61 units times 100. That's $6,000 a month. Multiply that by 12. That's $72,000 a month. $72,000 a year. Multiply that by 10, and you've just increased the value of that property by $720,000 on a simple rent increase. That is a beautiful thing. So congratulations to Tommy and Chris, but I'm not done. It says they're looking to do some upgrades on the property as well. Estimated cash flow could be around $37,000 more when they do these changes. And they may be looking to change the management company. It says because somebody is also a property manager, I hope it's not one of the people that are buying it. Because here's the deal. If you decide that you're going to become a property manager, when you go through our system and you decide that you're going to be a landlord, we will hunt you down and shoot you because that's the worst thing you can do. You want to be an asset manager. You want to put good property managers in there. You want to account for them when you're doing your numbers, you know, so you're going to pay them what they're worth. And you go out, find more deals, create more cash flow, and they take care of your tenants. The tenants, the trash, and the toilets. All right, so that high five goes to Tommy and Christy Martin. Congratulations to you two. Just a couple of email questions before I open it up to the line. First email question is from David Green. I've got a number of these. We're going to take a couple right now. If there's any pause on the line, then I'll open it up for more. By the way, we've got our next Nor'easter coming on Monday. Since I've been alive here in New England, I cannot remember a time when we had 3 in 2 weeks, and now it's going to be 4 in 3 weeks, and they say there's another storm even behind that. So it's crazy times up in here in New England. We lost power for 4 days, and I think I burnt about a half a quart of wood in the fireplace. It was the only way to keep the house warm. Not in the last one, but the one before that. So let's see. David Green from L.A. writes in, when underwriting a deal under 20 units, do you underwrite it the same way you would 200 units, or would you have to underwrite it differently? Well, at the Multifamily Millions Bootcamp, I see you're a mentoring student, so you must have been there. You want to open up to page 29, and that gives you the template to analyze deals that are 20 units or below. And it is different from doing a 200-unit deal. You're more focused on what the cash flow is going to be per building. It should be anywhere from $600 to $1,000 per building per month, net cash flow, instead of cash-on-cash return, cap rate, and capitalization rate when you're buying. You want to buy based on comparables. If you buy based on the capitalization rate, cash-on-cash return, when you're buying these smaller deals, you're going to pay too much. So remember that. We use comparables for the smaller deals. We use the holy trinity, cap rate, cash-on-cash return, debt coverage ratio, for the larger deals. So that's a good question. No, you don't do it differently. And then to determine, does this deal work, is you look at cash flows. So you use the comparable method, but at the same time, if it's, say, a four-unit building, that building should be cash flowing net at the end of the month, $600 per month for the entire building, not per unit. If it's a 10-unit building, it should be cash flowing at approximately $1,000 a month at the end of the month. The closer you get to 20, you get to about $1,500 per month. And that's kind of like a rule of thumb. All right. So Lawrence Pascua writes in from Tustin, California. In today's market, is it still possible, realistic, to find an 8 cap rate, a cap rate of 12 plus? And, oh, come on in. Oh, we've got some students visiting. Yeah, we met a little bit earlier. Come on in. Come on in, Jeannie. Let everybody see you as well.
Hi, everybody.
So I'm up, Alex. Alex has a concerned look at his face. He's a tech guy. Oh, you want to do the camera?
Yeah.
So this is the microphone right here. So tell everybody who you are. Come on in.
Hello.
So tell everybody who you are, where you're from.
Good morning. I'm Mia Cooper. I'm from Los Angeles.
Jerry McGee from Los Angeles as well. We were just in the area. Well, no, we came for the training.
Yep.
They got canceled.
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah, the first one. So we decided to come see you.
Yeah.
And see what this is all about. We got excited.
So you came over here surprises, or did you tell somebody you're coming? Did you just kind of come in, or did you tell Jermaine you were?
Oh, we called this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you called in the morning and said, hey, we want to come for a visit. We said, okay, come on over.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think? Is this a real place? A lot of people think, you know,
it's definitely real. You got to come down here. They even personalize it with your name when you walk through the door. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Love it.
And everyone is great over here. Yeah. Great staff. Yeah. And very helpful.
A lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big place.
Oh, yeah.
Very big.
Much bigger
very
than
big.
We expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all here to support you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we appreciate it because we're new and we're not sure what we're doing. Jeff was real helpful in looking at a deal we're working on right now. So it's been a lot of fun.
So you're in the conference room analyzing some numbers, crunching some numbers?
Correct. Got it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thank
the,
you.
The reason that I like to bring you here is because every once in a while we have people just show up here and say, we didn't want to call. We just wanted to show up to see if you were really real. We didn't want you to be prepared at all. But in reality, it's just about 30 people here. And we're all here working hard.
Yeah, okay. They're all real. Come on down.
All right, Jeannie, come on in.
All right.
We're going to bring here.
Hey, everybody.
Since we're doing the live stream, I want to have Jeannie Olowski in here because everybody hears her voice, but nobody really sees her in person. So this is Jeannie Olowski. Together, when we were doing all those deals back when we got up to 8,000 units, you were our investment relations coordinator and raised over $100 million. 150. Yeah, that was quite a craziness. Yep. So you help out with mentorship students. You analyze deals for people and basically help people become successful.
Johnny on the spot.
Yep.
Whatever needs doing, they need me to shovel, I'll shovel.
So what would you like to say to all of your adoring fans out there?
I'm real.
Yeah, you are.
I've been working with this guy for 20 years. We're like brother and sister now.
I saved Jeannie from a Chinese restaurant. She was. She was a waiter at a Chinese restaurant 20 years ago.
And I did a little
ago.
Saving of my own.
Yeah, she
from
did.
From the family.
And she saved me several times as well.
Right.
So this is Jeannie Olowski. If you stick with us in any length of time, you'll be talking to her.
Take care.
All right. Let's get back to business. Thanks, guys. Sorry for the interruption, but it's always nice to have some people come in. All right, so let's open it up to the lines. Oh, wait, I didn't answer that question, did I? Today's market, is it possible, realistic, to find an 8% cap rate, a 12% cash-on-cash return, a 1.6 debt coverage ratio, which is the holy trinity? And do we need to have these numbers, especially the cash-on-cash return, before getting into a deal, or can this be a target after a year one repositioning? The trinity is the trinity. That's your magic number. That's how you're going to be successful. If you want to sway back and forth from that trinity, like accept less, then you will be less successful. We've been training now for over 15 years. It's just a simple fact. And those rule of thumb numbers not only come from myself and the deals that I've done, but also all of the coaches that are being through the system as well. And that's how they became successful, by just simply following the rules. Now, I know what the most common objection is out there with this trinity. It's the fact that, can we get these deals? This market's so hot, those deals aren't out in this particular market. I can't find these deals in my area. Well, here's the deal behind that. Whenever somebody tells me they're struggling or they can't find deals, my first question or my next question is always, how strong are your relationships? Tell me about your last conversation with your best broker. What did you talk about? If you talk about real estate, if you talk about business, then that's not a relationship. You need to talk about commonality. You need to talk about the things that you have in common other than real estate in order to create that relationship, that bond, where they're going to put you at the top of their list and give you deals. Because when you are like people like you, and you like to do business with people that you like. That's what like is all about. So if you're struggling finding deals with this particular the trinity, they are mostly pocket listings and pocket deals, and you'll get them by forming good relationships. Will you get them tomorrow? Hey, every once in a while somebody gets lucky and gets one, you know, very shortly after the event. But basically it takes 4 months to establish a relationship with a broker. Okay, that's if you don't find something in common with them and focus on that commonality. If you do have something in common with them, it typically cuts that in half to 2 months and sometimes even shorter. So just know that. And I'm just looking out there into my office, up to the kitchen. I'm looking to see what's going on out there. There's a group gathering. All right, so let's go live. Let's operate. Who's our first caller? Who's got the first question?
Our first question comes from Michael. Again, ladies and gentlemen.
Good, thanks.
Hold on 1 second. Michael, you're live.
Okay.
Hey, hello, Dave.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm all dug out.
I have a question for you. Would your ultimate partnering event be something worthwhile for me? I'm currently converting from debt to equity, and I'm undergoing a Regulation A-plus Tier 2 $50 million capital raise.
Oh, yeah. The whole idea behind the ultimate partnering event is that we've been teaching now for 15 years. So we get alumni students from all of those years that come in. And we've got very successful investors that are looking to fund deals from students that they know are being trained properly. We've got people that are just funders themselves that just come to the event because they know there's a lot of deals in the mix there. We have people that are looking to partner with other people, you know, to do deals together. And, you know, the other name for that event is the partnership event, and that's what we basically do there. So that event, you know, that event is not until September. So if you're doing are you in the middle of a raise right now?
Well, I've been planning it for 8 years. I've been in business for 30 years, so I'm more advanced than most of your people probably. But I'm a big fan of yours. I love what you teach, and I think birds of a feather flock together, and I think if we could help some people by getting them more involved, I think I might come there and say hi.
Yeah, you know, there you'll meet other people like yourself. There's not an abundance of them, but there are people like yourself that are looking to go in and meet like-minded people, but also have resources, or are also looking to create a large pool. So, yeah, you'll be in the right mix. For sure. And, you know, actually, yesterday was the deadline. We're extending it to Friday, but it was the deadline for the next price rise at that event. We're having Sugar Ray Leonard there this time, so that'll be a lot of fun. He's going to do the keynote at that event. So if you're thinking about going, you might want to get in before that price rises. But I'll tell you, it's a really good event. Last year we had over 800 people There was closer to 900. This year we'll have over 1,200 the way the numbers are tallying right now. And it's just, you know, it's just one of those events where it's just all about networking. There's a lot of education from the stage, but most people come for the networking.
Would I be better as a sponsor, perhaps?
For sponsoring other deals?
No. Like do you have like the SRI conference? You could make a presentation or something like that. You pay some money and you do a presentation.
You could get a vendor's booth. Yeah. You could get a vendor. Are you watching us live?
Excuse me?
Are you watching us?
Yes, I am.
The lady you just saw was Jeannie Orlowski, and she's actually handling the vendors for the vendor booth. So if you want to give her a call, she'll tell you all about that.
All right. Thank you for your time, and keep up the good work.
All right. Nice to meet you, Mike. Okay, who's next?
Who's next in the
Wisecracker line here on a Thursday afternoon? Beautiful outside. It's a balmy 46 degrees. People are in their shorts and T-shirts here in New England. Who's next?
I'm sorry. Our next question comes from Maurice. Maurice, you are live.
Okay.
Hey, Maurice.
What's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Hey, you know, there used to be this guy around these parts. His name was Maurice the Pants Man. He used to do commercials on TV and had a clothing line. This wouldn't be the same fellow, would it?
This would not be the same fellow, but I know exactly what you're talking about, having grown up in Randolph. I know.
Oh, yeah, you know. Then you know Maurice the Pants Man.
I do. Yeah. I do.
What's going on?
So a couple of updates, and then I have a question for you. So I finally got a property under contract in North Carolina yesterday, so super excited, an 80-unit. And I'm out in Denver area today looking at other properties, so this stuff has taken hold, so I'm super excited. The question I have for you now is, so you were talking about the Trinity. I am not having problems finding the Trinity. Actually, kind of what you said before, or maybe what Jeff or the presenter said before in our classes, if you run through enough of these things, eventually, if you run through 100 maybe, the Trinity is going to pop out. So I've gotten that good stuff that's coming in.
Yeah.
But where I am starting to have problems is, while I'm able to find the Trinity, it feels like most of these deals, or the deals that I'm running into, do not have meat on the bone left, meaning the price that they're being sold at actually does match the Trinity, or at least my strike price does match the Trinity, but there's not so much left from an equity perspective or a value add perspective that I feel comfortable on a potential exit. So I just kind of wanted your views on that, because I've let a couple of deals go because I felt like in 4 or 5 years there wouldn't be enough there to justify keeping it around.
Yeah, and I think you're smart for doing that, because I'm not sure. Well, give me your other reasoning and as to why you think in 4 or 5 years there may not be more meat on the bone, why there's not going to be more equity.
Okay, one, maybe the property doesn't have as much add value as we would like in your system. Two, I'm not finding – in some of those areas, I've not found the path of progress. I mean, there is some path of progress stuff going on, but not enough to make me think that, hey, there's going to be a 10 or 20 or 30% increase in the value of the property because this company X is coming into town or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess those are my two biggest reasons, just the add value portion. Maybe the rents are close to maxed out or – can only be raised maybe 5% or something like that, and then just not enough in the market. But then if you go down to a lesser developed market, then, you know, it's a bit.
All right, hold on for a second. Let me respond to those points first.
Yep.
First of all, you're right on. Number one, we like to have properties that have some sort of a value add, and an increase in job growth or increase in demand with limited supply would certainly be a type of a value add, and you're not seeing that in the marketplace. So there's nothing really driving price, which is one of the ways you have to look at the market and where it is now and when you're going to exit. Because right now, when you exit 4 or 5 years from now, you're going to be exiting in a higher interest rate environment, which means the cap rates are also going to rise, which means values are going to go down. And the only way to equalize that is by NOI going up. And if you can't find a way through a value add or demand from jobs coming in or potential renters coming in for that NOI to go up, then you're in a losing proposition. Then you probably, you know, you're in a, you can get great cash flow for those 5 years, but you may be in a situation where you're actually either break even or negative on in terms of the asset itself. So
exactly.
You are thinking in the right ballpark. Now, talk about the other markets that you were just about to add.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just the same thing. Just, I'm just not – well, for example, Dave, I was in Asheboro market, Greensboro market. I was up in Baltimore, which could be a little bit tricky sometimes, but I did see some things. It's the same thing. I can find the Trinity, but in those cases, just what is going on around those complexes is just not enough to make one feel comfortable. So it's like, where's the balance between the Trinity and then the market, or, you know, I don't know if I'm making sense, but the market around it.
Yeah, that's it. That's where the value has to come from. It has to come from the market. The property itself through a value add, or the market itself being a value add. If it's not there, then even if a property does reach to Trinity, you've got to see, you know, most of our goals is to create equity, you know, and to create wealth through appreciation. And if we can't force the appreciation, or if the appreciation is not going to come into the marketplace through the real estate cycle itself, then there's a concern on the exit. So you're thinking the right way.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. So I don't feel bad.
Congratulations on your first deal.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Come, if you're right over in Randolph, come by and see us. Come by and see us before the next storm next Monday.
Yeah, well, I'll be at the event tonight or tomorrow. I'm headed to the airport right now.
Okay, great. Clear skies right now.
Yes, it is.
Take care, Maurice.
Thanks, man. Take care.
You too. Okay, who's next? Who's next? Hey, all you guys in the mentorship program, are you reading your morning affirmations? I get mine right here. It's a great way to start today. Go ahead.
And our next question comes from Billy. Billy, go ahead.
Hey, Dave. I just got through with the Fort Lauderdale boot camp. And
how
I'm
was
actually
it?
Up here net. Fabulous. I am trying to I'm collecting down all the mountains of material right now and working hard to get up to speed. And
Hey, hold on there for a second. I have another visitor in my office. Are you watching us live? Go on in, Jerry.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Jerry, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, where's Alex? Actually, we'll just put you up a chair.
All right, give me some time to answer some questions.
So this is Jerry. Hey, Jerry. How's it going?
Good
You're live.
Good.
You're live on TV.
I am.
So you came to visit us?
I did. I have really enjoyed the visiting with everybody, and the atmosphere here is just so relaxed. And just
we're a fun company to work for.
It is very good.
Yeah. We're planning a big Irish Day celebration here as well.
Oh, that would be a good time to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Lunch on Friday. So you're from California?
San Francisco area.
Yeah. What do you do out there?
I'm a real estate broker.
Oh.
And general contractor. And so we're doing a couple of small projects there, but want to get into what you're been mentoring us to do, and that's more units.
Yeah.
And stop working so hard.
So you're here for the Prime Money event?
I am.
What do you hope to get out of that event?
Well, I'm hoping to get the next leg of our endeavor to get into a couple hundred units and put the pieces together. So it's
we'll get you there. The great part about that event is not only do we keep you safe with the SEC, but we also give you the different words and verbiage and the scripts and on what to say, and then exactly where to find these people with the money. So you're going to love that event.
Great. Looking forward to it.
So what do you think about this place? Real place, real people.
Real place, real people, and just everybody's immensely experienced. Everybody I've spoken with has been a wealth of information.
We do this business. Every day. Did you see my mom out there?
I did. I met your mom.
Yeah. She's always, I saved Jeannie from the Chinese restaurant. I saved my mom from the fish market. My mom was a fish cutter on the Fish Piers of Boston for 27 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not anymore. Now she comes in here every time every once in a while we'll laugh about it. And I said, and I'll look at her. And I worked at that fish market too at sometimes. And we look at each other and say, sure beats smelling like fish.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get a chance to eat some of that. Maybe you can tell us where to go.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely direct you in the right places while you're here.
Great.
All right. Hey,
great.
Thanks for stopping in.
Thanks.
And being on the live stream.
See you next time.
Okay. All right. Sorry, as we digress, I'll try to make up the time on the back end. I'm sorry. Who's asking the question? Who's on the line?
My name's Billy.
Hey, Billy.
Fort
sorry
Lauderdale.
About that.
No problem.
So what's going on there in Fort Lauderdale?
I'm actually up here in Boston right now.
Excellent.
Coming
for
to the
event.
Yeah.
Good.
So
are you going to stop
by
the office? Well, bye. Everybody else?
Yeah, yeah. Heck yeah. Yes, I am. Sure.
Yep, good.
So my question is this. I've been putting my list together of all the people that I know, basically, and a bunch of several of them pop out, especially one childhood friend that is in the title insurance business, and he knows a lot of lawyers. He's been working 30 years developing relationships with lawyers in the county that he's in New Jersey. And he also has a lot of other high wealth friends that he knows and is well connected with. So my idea is to approach him. If you were me, what would you offer someone like that as to come in? And he doesn't know anything about this business,
yep,
at this point. But what would you,
so you're looking,
you know, what kind of approach would you take with him?
So you think he's going to have the ability to bring you funding?
Money, yeah.
Yeah.
Funding.
So this is the way we typically do it. So we'll put a deal together, and you have the investor side, and then you have what we call the company dollar side. And the investor side, let's say it's a 60-40 split, 60 for the investors, 40 for the company, you. So of that 40%, we'll carve out 25% of the – let's say now the 40% is equal to the 100% of the company side. Okay, so of the 100% of the company side, we'll carve out 25% for anybody who brings in money. So they become a partner as well. They become an equity partner. Let's say that your buddy there on any particular deal brings in 50% of the money. So he would get 50% of that 25%, and that's how you would compensate him in equity. You become a partner.
Okay. He doesn't have money himself. He would be using his
right.
network to bring in the money.
He's bringing the money. Correct. That's how it works.
So 25% of the 40% company dollar.
Well, not 25%. Yeah, 25% of the whole of the company dollar, which is the 40% now equals 100% of company dollar. The numbers are kind of confusing, but it's not 25% of. Well, I guess it is. It's 25% of that whole of 40%. So yeah, so in he doesn't get the whole 25. He gets that 25% represents 100% of the raise. So if nobody brought in any outside money for you, then that whole 25% would be yours, okay? Like, for instance, me and my partner, when we're going out and we're doing deals, when the money is raised, when other people bring in the money, they get a portion of that 25%. If nobody brings in additional sources and we raise the money ourselves, then neither one of us, we don't split that amongst ourselves. We just eliminate it. You know what I mean?
Okay. I think I got that. Yeah. So the 40% is carved out as the company dollar. What I would offer him would be 25% of that 40%.
If he brought in 100% of the amount of the money that was being raised for that deal. Yes.
Okay. And what about, so let's say he did bring 100% of the money and the other 75% of that company dollar would be my part.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
If he only brought in half, then he would only get 12.5%, and the other 12.5% would go into the back into the company dollar, yours.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Thanks for that.
Yep. My pleasure.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Boston. Okay, who's next? Who's next on the line? Robert, are you there? Operator, when there's silence, she's usually getting a name. So I'm going to answer another question. This one is from Peter Hayes in Seattle. And Peter writes in, have you heard anything regarding interest rates rising? Eric Stewart, who is a money lender, says that they're going to be 4.5% to 5.5%, and they could be going up soon. They are going to go up, so what you should do is you should you know, at least be analyzing your deals at 0.5% above what the current rates are. Who knows how fast they'll swing? I think they'll swing in small increments, but incrementally over the next couple of years, interest rates will be up 0.5 point to a point, if not more, all depending on what's going on in the government. I want to answer a question, too, from most of the people on this line are mentoring students, but I know that this live stream is actually being sent out to a bigger group as well, and they were invited to email some questions in, so I'm going to take a couple of questions from them as well. This one is from Sam Santos, and Sam writes in, how do we protect an investor if he's on the deed of trust from a lawsuit that might arise? Or is the investor a silent investor and not on the deed? If it's a deed of trust, then the investor is on the deed. If you go into an LLC arrangement, there would be a limited liability company. There would be limited liability. That would probably be the best way to do it, but I am not an attorney, and the best thing to do is to seek legal advice from an attorney. Okay, this one is from Kevin Barry. He writes in, Dave, if you had an apartment building with 150 doors performing at 70% occupancy, how many make-ready employees would you have to have on staff to complete 23 units to stabilize at 85%? This sounds like one of those problems that I had on my the SAT exams, doesn't it? It's 150 doors, 70% occupancy. How many make-ready employees would you have to have on staff to complete 23 units to get the stabilization at 85%? Well, see, the reason that question can't be answered, straight across is I don't know in what shape those units are. They could be what we call easy turns that could be turned over in 1 or 2 days. They could be medium turns, turns that take 3 to 5 days to do. They could be hard turns. Hard turn is, a quick turn or an easy turn is something that needs steam cleaning, some touch-up paint, and that's about it. A medium turn is something that may require some replacement of carpet, some repairs and some holes in some walls, maybe some door, maybe a door or two, nothing really major, but the whole interior of the apartment usually gets painted on an interior turn. So miscellaneous stuff. A hard turn usually means that it needs carpet, it needs paint, it may need some cabinetry work, it may need some plumbing work. And then a down unit is a unit that's down for some reason or other. Maybe there was a fire. Maybe there was a there's a septic leak. So not to know what those 23 units consist of. I mean, if they were easy turns, well, I just gave you the time frame of all the different turns: 1 to 2 days for an easy, 3 to 5 days for a medium, 5+ for a hard turn, and a down unit takes whatever time. So you can take those 23 units, and then you can figure out how many days it would take. And typically you have a crew of three people turning your units. So think of it that way. We do have time. All right, let's open up the line, and let's take another question, and I'll take some more. A couple of these are really long. But, operator, who's the next caller?
Certainly. The next one is Tamlin. Go ahead, Tamlin. You're live.
Hi, Dave, from sunny South Florida.
Hey, what's going on down there in sunny South Florida?
Oh, it's beautiful today. It's in the 60s and 70s. We're having a great, great cool spring. But just finished the Fort Lauderdale boot camp.
Awesome. How was it?
It was awesome. Really enjoyed it. Actually made good connections there for potential partnership opportunities. It's just so valuable. There's constantly people around you that you learn so much from, and including Steve, our great instructor. So really enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, could you hold on for 1 second because there's two more people and I want to introduce them. Come on in.
Sure.
And actually, they're going to have to introduce themselves to me as well because
I'm Robert and Samantha.
Okay, come on, Schumacher. come on down here. She's going to. There we go.
Hi.
So how's it going?
Good.
It's fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Good.
So where from?
California.
Oh, really? A lot of people from California are out here right now.
I think we made it
on
one of the few flights that made it out on Tuesday. So.
Oh, you got here on Tuesday?
We got here Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't think any flights came out on Tuesday.
We got in like 2 in the morning.
Oh, that explains it. So how do you like the snow? What part of California are you from?
San Jose.
Oh, so you see some snow. You never see
snow
there?
Not
usually. Oh.
Not unless we went to Tahoe.
Did you go and play in the snow? Did you make snow angels? That's
not
a requirement,
yet.
You know.
Okay.
We will do that.
All right.
Oh, yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
So you came from private money?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to get out of it?
To learn how to just go out and attract additional funding for the next project that we put together. We have already put together a couple of projects.
Oh, yeah? What do you got going on?
We've got a 74-unit building right now that's in repositioning.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work.
Of that repositioning, what percent occupancy was it when you bought it?
We had 24 units occupied.
Oh, was that your first deal?
No.
Oh,
I was going to say, that is like probably one of the hardest first deals to get into with that type of occupancy and a repositioning.
But it's been work.
Yeah.
But it's
they are, but if you do it right, big rewards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're excited about it. And, we're a year into it and hoping to have it finish up in the next year.
Good. Well, that event should show you how to get all the money to fund your deals. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
So what do you think of the place? First time here?
Right. First time here.
First time.
Loved walking up to it. What do they call it?
The Wall of Fame?
The Wall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, you guys got to get on the Wall of Fame.
We're going to get
there. Absolutely. How long have you been a student?
September.
Excellent. Yep. So when you do your first deal as a student,
yep.
We'll get you on that wall.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Awesome. Nice to meet you guys.
Good
to meet you.
All right. Nice to meet you as well.
We'll see you guys.
All right. Well, have a good time the next 3 days.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Okay. Sorry about that, ma'am. Just
no
some
problem.
More people walking to the office.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind? What can I answer for you this morning?
I wanted to ask, I'm a realtor, and I wanted to ask about compensating bird dogs. I'm not having a problem locating properties. I mean, just started really, but I've got a lot of good potential properties that I'm following up with right now. And I've got various levels of bird dogs, how should I say, all throughout the state of Florida. So some of them are just like realtors or ex-realtors in residential, and they're really just feeding me properties that they find from talking to people or farming or in their everyday kinds of activities. And they're not really, you know, it's really up to me. They're not pre-qualifying those properties on very deeply at all, very high level. And how can I compensate them if one of those turns into a deal, just like a finder's fee type of thing, if they're licensed realtors or not? And also on the more sophisticated bird dogs, like my broker has a lot of commercial contacts. If he's not the buying broker being compensated on a listing, agreement from the seller, then what kind of referral fee do I give him if he does more due diligence on a property? What's the range for bird dogs of different levels of sophistication?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you to check your RESPA laws, number one. And then number two, after you've done that or consulted an attorney, I think typical compensation for a bird dog is about 1% of the deal.
Of the whole deal?
Usually. And you can either pay it at closing or you can pay it you can give a little bit at closing and give the majority when you resell the deal. All depends on, you know, what you think you need to motivate your bird dog.
Okay, great. So on the exit as well.
Yeah, you could do it all up front. You could do part during the exit or all during the exit.
Okay, sounds great.
You're probably wise to give some up front.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking that. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck out there. Send us up some sunshine. All right, who's next?
And our next question comes from Lorene. Lorene, go ahead. You're live.
Hi, Dave.
Hey,
can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds like you're in the car.
We are. this is Lorene. We're from Juneau, Alaska.
Oh, wow. How's the salmon?
One of our first questions was, do you have many students out in Alaska at this point?
We have got, you know, Alaska's somewhat out there, but we do have a couple of students from Alaska. We're happy to introduce them to you. I can't remember one of them. It's a woman. And here's an odd story. This woman met her partner, who Jeff Greenberg, who's from California, at one of the events. And they ended up that Jeff was buying in Alaska and she was buying in California. And that's how they met. That's kind of a weird thing. But she's a great lady. She's been with us for a few years now. I'll be happy to introduce you to her. And there's also another one that is not the top of my mind either. But we've got a couple. There's not a lot, but we've got a couple.
Awesome. That'd be excellent. Another question we had was, how would you carve out a deal if you found one investor to...
So I would ask them what they're looking for first.
Okay. Awesome. That was all we had for you. Thank you.
All right. Where are you driving to? Are you in Alaska right now?
We actually just flew into Seattle on some business.
Oh,
on the road.
You know, we're having the Multifamily Millions Boot Camp in Seattle this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that?
We went through the boot camp in San Diego back in, was it January?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good time to be in San Diego.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Good luck out there.
Thank you.
All right, who's next? Who's next on the Wisecracker line?
And the next question comes from Les. Go ahead, Les.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Les, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Houston.
Hey,
I'm Les, Houston,
I've got one question for you. And
okay.
And I want you to think about the answer. Is Les really more?
No. Yes, it is.
You should be saying yes to that.
Less is more. Right. You're right. Anyway, I want to ask you a question about, you know, as time goes by, the emerging market changes, you know, what's the top five cities or top five whatever, or the top 10. Do you have anything like that you can send me by email or tell me on the phone?
Yeah, I'm happy to tell you what they are right now. The top markets in the U.S., I just updated this list, too, by the way, for all you mentoring students. It's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But the top five markets right now are more towards the interior of the country. They're Cincinnati, they're St. Louis, Kansas City is still doing well. Huntsville, Alabama is still doing well. Atlanta still has some pockets on the outside. The farther away from the center of the city you get, the more opportunity you'll see.
So you're talking about Atlanta, the metro part of it, the mid Atlanta, like downtown and surrounding areas.
Yeah, no downtown, the outskirts, like Marietta and all that.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you from the East Coast or West Coast?
I'm in Houston. I'm in Houston, and I want to know what's happening in Houston or San Antonio or Dallas or what's going on in Houston.
San Antonio is a great market. It's always a sleeper market behind the big markets in Texas. You know, got some students down there that are killing it right now. It's just a good place to do business. Also, the Dallas Metroplex area that's always good. And going to the secondary markets from the Dallas Metroplex, that's good. Austin's always – it's really difficult to get some traction in Austin just because of the amount of job growth.
It's very expensive. Everything's gone up because of demand, I think.
Yeah, and the deals are always really tight. Houston was really good, but I'm not sure what's going on in Houston after that big storm. So I don't have my finger on the pulse there right now. But prior to that, you know, it did suffer some because of the prices of oil going down so much and the fact that, you know, they lost a lot of oil jobs. But it's become a diversified economy, so it didn't hurt as much as it did the last time we went through the cycle.
Exactly.
So
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well,
so
I'm a realtor here, and so sometimes being a realtor can be an advantage and sometimes can be a disadvantage, right?
How is it a disadvantage?
I'm sorry?
How is it a disadvantage? I see the advantages, but I'm not sure about the disadvantages.
You see the advantage because I have access to information that the general public don't necessarily have everything, right?
Yeah.
They have a lot
of. That's the advantage.
Yeah, but the thing about the disadvantage is that you got to, you know, there's nothing wrong with disclosing on every contract that you write that the buyer is a licensed realtor in Texas or whatever. But other than that, what are the other statements I've got to make to protect myself from being sued later or whatever?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was a licensed broker in the state of Massachusetts for years. I used to have a brokerage company, but we don't do that anymore. All that during that time when I was investing, people helping people, PHP Realty.
Uh-huh.
It's still
was that your realty company?
Up,
yeah.
Yeah, that was my realty company. Mine and my sister's. My sister's still involved in it. I'm not involved in it at all anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's just held open to buy and sell our own personal properties. We had actually opened it and became number three in the city of Brockton in a very short period of time, at times number two, but there was a huge Remax there. There was no way we were going to beat them. And plus, after 5 years, you know, a long-term goal could have beat them, but after 5 years in that business, man, that business burnt me out. It chewed me up. You know how it is. You know, it's a difficult business to be in, real estate brokerage, residential. So.
Uh-huh. Right. And so you were talking about the emerging growth markets in Texas, for example, would be San Antonio would be top of your list, would you say?
San Antonio, Dallas Metroplex, Waco's coming back, which was a market that was avoided for a long time. I like the secondary markets. You know, the I like Tyler, Longview, Texarkana in the east. El Paso's making a run back. That's kind of an isolated market. I like all the markets north of Dallas. So I like to go right up to Oklahoma City. I mean, Oklahoma City is really a part of Texas, you know. And don't tell Oklahomans that, but Oklahoma and Tulsa, those markets still have some legs in them as well.
Right. You know, I'm not very experienced in the apartments, although I have a lot of theory knowledge in my head, and I know what needs to be done. But from a practical standpoint, I don't have as much, power behind me. So I would prefer to get something in my backyard now. Maybe Houston is not on top of the list like it was at one time, but I'm surely going to find people that want a divorce or retiring or mom and pops that don't know what they're doing.
Houston's your backyard, so you just learn the market cycles and you'll know what strategies to use and how to recognize the phase that you're in. So you're using the right strategy. But you can build a pretty big portfolio there in Houston just by riding each one of those cycles. You can do really well there.
Right.
That market flashing you to go up and down, and that's what makes it so good because it does have large swings.
Large swings, yeah. But the thing about the Class C market, which the apartments, they're pretty much doing pretty well. Class A, there's a lot of availability. In other words, there's a lot of vacancy because they built too many. But one thing is leading to another. So Class A, there's plenty of vacancies, so, and they're bringing the prices down somewhat. So Class B people, tenants are going to Class A. Class C people are going to Class B if they can. And then eventually Class C is going to be hit. Not now, but eventually. What do you think?
As soon as the market turns, the people in the Class C are going to lose their job, and they're going to be the hardest hit. So that's what you got to watch out for. Right now, there is a corrections happening. And going to be happening throughout the real estate world. And so you should be looking, if you're holding any Class C right now, you should be looking to dispose of it and put your money into the Bs. The Bs will do well in a downturn.
Bs? I see. Getting out of Cs and getting into Bs, what you're saying? A lot of people found that the prices have shot up because the rents have shot up so much that they hit the peak market in the apartments Class C, and they sold out there, and now they're getting into other things like strip centers and things of that nature. So you think when one goes down, the other one comes up somewhat, or you just got to know what's next?
All real estate's a cycle, yeah. So, you know, it typically runs that multifamily moves first, usually, and then the storage facilities will move somewhat after that, because people, when they're moving in to areas, usually the apartments aren't big enough, so they have to put into storage. From there, when more people come into the area, the retail starts to kick off, and then when the retail starts to kick off, warehousing, there's a higher need for warehousing because they need to store all the stuff that they're selling. The office buildings, it depends, it's market to market, when exactly it's going to pop up or pop down. So it's market specific, but that's typically the cycle in real estate. And you can really go from, you can either stay in apartments the entire time and ride the apartment cycle, or you can ride the commercial real estate cycle by moving from apartments to storage to the other asset classes.
Right. I'm very interested in storage. In fact, I took your course with your brother.
Yep. Sir, I'll be, I've got to take on some more calls as well. But I'll be happy if you want to call in sometime. I've got an appointment right after this show. But if you want to call in, I'll be happy to talk to you longer.
Okay, fine.
You
know, which number do I call?
Tomorrow. I call over to the office, 781-878-7114.
And when do I call?
Call Jeannie. Jeannie will set up a time. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, who's next? All right, we're at the top of the hour. I've got another meeting that I've got to go to. So for you mentoring students, you know the drill. Your homework is to get yourself into two networking situations, two and two, and then also get in two offers this week. They don't have to be deals at work, but you just need to start the offering process. So you get an understanding of how to analyze that deal. You bring it to the broker. You start the offering and negotiating process. And nothing, absolutely nothing in this business happens without an offer. So two offers a week. You just simply do two and two. Success is a very easy formula. Two and two, and you can't help but be successful. For those of you that aren't in mentorship, if you're interested in it, you can certainly call the office at 781-878-7114. Somebody will be happy to tell you about it. If you're interested in any of our other events, the private money event, the multifamily millions bootcamp, asset management, commercial underwriting, we got a whole bunch of them. You can call the office and ask them about them too. And don't forget, Ultimate Partnering 218 with Sugar Ray Leonard in September, the price goes up. It goes up on – actually, it's supposed to go up on Wednesday, but we extended it to Friday, and it goes up from $595 to $695. You can also get that by calling the office. So that's it. Great call, everybody. Glad to have you on board, and we will see you next month with another live stream. And for you mastery students, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye, everybody. Alex is our tech, and he's the one who put this all together with the rest of the team that are behind the camera as well.